when you think about time and you think about it, you need to look at it the way God does. Now, God, who invented time, has a calendar, and he goes by that calendar.
God measured out a piece of eternity and called it time. Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim teach us the key dates on God's calendar and how we're to watch Israel, God's time clock on earth, today on A Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. We have Billy Brim with us today talking to us about the last days, the end times, all that good stuff, so you don't want to miss any of it. Welcome, Billy.
Right. We're you know, all of us, I think, probably everybody watching this would say that they believe that Jesus is coming again.
Well, absolutely.
And the question that people ask me is,
when?
When?
Yeah, right.
And I think everybody sees the signs of his coming. You can't see what's happened in the Middle East without knowing Israel's come home and then all the mm-hmm. thing that's happened around there. You can't look at that and not know that he's coming. So,
soon.
Time is the thing. What time? Sometimes I think about what time is it, you know, right now, as God sees time.
And his clock.
His calendar and his clock. Gloria, one time I was in Finland and we were getting ready to go into Soviet Russia. And I saw this guy out in a public square there in Helsinki. And to tell you the truth, he was a little flaky. But he had on a jeans jacket. And he had sewn on the back of it himself. You could tell he made it. But a great big clock. And he had the hands pointing almost to 12. And he said, Israel is God's time clock. And I thought, you're right, brother. And we should sell those, jeans jackets. But he was right about it. Israel is God's time clock. So Jesus said, if you want to know when, you've got to watch the fig tree,
That's
Israel,
right.
and you've got to watch the other nations. Now, time, what is time? Gloria, have you ever thought about it? If you didn't have a clock and you didn't have a calendar.
That would be great. Now that you mention it.
Now that we mention it. What would time mean to you?
Nothing.
You would just get up when the light came
go to bed at dark.
Go to bed at dark. God invented time. I heard once as I was coming back across the international date line, the captain announced we've just come across it. I was coming from Australia. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, God invented time.
Mm-hmm.
Precisely.
He sure did.
Mathematically, scientifically, God measured out a piece of eternity and called it time for his dealings with man. Each passing second counts off time until the end of time and its usefulness to God. Now, God himself doesn't need time. He only needs it because Adam fell and to straighten everything out here. He doesn't need time. He inhabits eternity. And you can find that in Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. So God dwells in eternity. I used to say this, God knows the future better than I know the past. But now I see that he is there already. He's in the future. He's in the past. He's in the now. And his name is that. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh means the one that we mispronounce, Jehovah, who was, who is, who was, and who is to come. So that's who he is. And it's called his inexpressible name. It represents the eternity of God. For it is the composed of the letters that spell he was, he is, and he will be. Meaning that God's being is timeless. So he invented time, cut out a piece of eternity, measured it to deal with man and settle the sin question and settle everything that happened in the fall and restore the earth to perfection. Anything God made is headed toward perfection. It can't stop short of it. Mm-hmm. Because God's work, it says it's written, it's perfect. So even mankind. And so we're glad for these wondrous workings of God. But when you think about time and you think about it, you need to look at it the way God does. Now, God, who invented time, has a calendar. And he goes by that calendar. It's not the Gregorian calendar that we go by. The Gregorian calendar that we go by was only developed in 1592. I mean, that's pretty late on all the scale of eternity. Mm-hmm. 1592, it replaced the Julian calendar. Pope Gregory wanted to more accurately date Easter, and he wanted to have a calendar that went from Jesus' lifetime. But they got it wrong because they, Jesus, we know, King Herod was alive when he was born. So since now people have found out that he died before what we would call the year one, he died from 4 to 6 B.C., we know that Jesus had to have been, or 2 to 6 B.C., we know that Jesus was born before this calendar. And we also know that God does not go by the Mayan calendar. I couldn't believe how people got so silly over that. And he does have a calendar, and he goes by it. It's called the Jewish or Hebrew calendar, but it's his calendar. He did make them the keeper of it. We would have forgotten all about it. If he just put that down in Leviticus here and the Jews didn't keep it,
yeah,
Christians wouldn't pay any attention to it. Nobody would pay any attention to it unless somebody kept it. And the Jews have kept it through the century. He assigned them to keep it. So we're going to look at that calendar of God and God's calendar in Moeds you're going to have
here?
There. Yeah.
Okay.
So turn in your Bibles. You do have your Bibles, don't you?
Certainly.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Where shall I go?
Genesis 1, the beginning, the book of beginnings.
We're going to do the whole Bible.
We're doing the whole Bible.
Great.
Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And then it says there, Gloria, in that next verse, Genesis 1, 14. Would you read 15? I didn't put it on my paper here.
Well, it says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. The next verse, too. And God made two great lights,
the
greater light,
sun,
to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also.
So here we hear that heavenly creations of God, the sun, the moon, and the stars, are going to have to do with time. They're going to tell us the days. They're going to tell us the years. Mm-hmm. But they're also going to tell us the signs and the seasons. The word signs here, otiot, it's also the word for letters, but it means signs and symbols of things, coming things, and also seasons. Seasons to me is the most important word. And that word seasons in the Hebrew is the plural of the word moed, M-O-E-D. And I've got that down for you, Gloria, in the God's calendar and the moedi. You got it right there.
Good.
Right? No? Mm-hmm. Next page, maybe. Next page.
Signs in the heavenlies.
Bless the Lord. Glory be to God. There you go. Then third one down here. Now you all just hum to yourselves while Gloria and I are getting
We're working on it. We're
getting our
on
things
it
here. That's praise it the Lord.
Okay.
Now, Moed, M-O-E-D, if we spelled it out, would be a fixed time and appointed time, or a fixed place and appointed place. So it's fixed. Moeds. So the sun, the moon, and the stars, therefore the moeds of God. They're going to mark out the appointed times on God's calendar. Like on your calendar at home, you may have February 12th circled. That's your birthday.
Yeah.
We just had it last week. Or you might have December 6th. That's Ken's birthday, and that's my birthday.
I know y'all
just
are great
just wanted
there.
You to know about that. But anyway,
she said mine after it was over, but now she's reminding me of her and Ken.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Don't you forget it. But then you might have Christmas circled like when you were a kid you would, or maybe the day school starts. But God has dates circled on His calendar. He told us what they are, and they're called Moeds, appointed times.
Calendar.
He appointed them. Not Moses, God. So God said, this day is important, and you keep it like this so that people will remember it. And he told us of that calendar in Leviticus 23. We're going to look at it later. But let's think about this for a minute. The Jews keep God's calendar, and they keep it with two orders of months. Of course, there's 12 months in God's calendar, and there's 12 months in the calendar we look at. But the Jews have what they call a civil calendar. And I'm reading you this from Barron's Types, Psalms, and Prophecies book. Since ancient times, the Jews kept a calendar now called the civil calendar, starting in the autumn with the first day of the month now called Tishri. This was long before the religious year or sacred year, commencing with Nisan, Passover in the spring, was instituted with the Exodus. Josephus, and of course he's that famous historian, asserts that while Moses appointed Nisan to be the first month for the sacred festivals, he preserved the original order of the months for buying and selling and for other business. And we do that, you know. For our ministry, our year goes from September to September. That's called our fiscal year. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, on the Gregorian calendar, we have January to January. So that's not hard for people to understand. But just in your mind, just think this. I want you to get this.
Okay. We're working.
And I'm asking the Lord to help me and help you to understand it, because I'm going to read you a statement from John Hagee. I don't want to get it wrong, but it's something like this, and I'll read it again when I get it exactly right here in my notes. He said, not to understand God's calendar, His moeds, feasts, some people call them, is like taking the hands off of your clock.
Hmm.
You won't be able to tell what time it is unless you understand God's calendar.
That's good.
It's like taking the hands off your clock. So, the calendar that the Jews went by before the sacred calendar, it started in the autumn with what we now call Rosh Hashanah, and it was their civil year, and it was dated from the time that Adam was created. It dates from the creation of Adam, the day he was created. And so that's how they do their business. They keep their business year by that. The Shemitah years and the planning and all that goes by that civil calendar year. Then he did institute a sacred calendar, and we're going to talk about that. The Bible does not call the months by names. It doesn't call the days by names. It calls the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day. And it calls the months by numbers. The first month, the second month, the third month, the fourth month, the fifth month, the sixth month, the seventh month, and on. So the names that we call them came later. And Shana means year. Rosh is head. So the head of the civil year, God's civil calendar, we call Rosh Hashanah. And that's the Jewish New Year of their civil calendar. Now the sacred year, and here I got it. Here's John Hagee's statement. He said in his book, Four Blood Moons, page 179, remember this truth. If you do not understand the prophetical, I'm going to repeat that word, prophetical significance of the feasts of the Lord, it's like breaking the hands off your clock. How will you be able to tell the appointed time, the
That's
moed?
That's a good way to say it.
Isn't that a good way to say it? Now, they already had the civil year. So now, God is going to give them the sacred year, the calendar of redemption. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. They're getting redeemed. They're coming out of Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 12, when they're coming out, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be to you the first month of the year. So it's April. It's a springtime. They came out in springtime. You know that because you celebrate Easter in the springtime. And so it's spring. Aviv is the way you say it. And there's another scripture which he tells them Passover always has to be in the Aviv. It always has to be in the spring. So he's going to institute for them now the sacred calendar, the calendar of redemption. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So they're coming out of Egypt. They're going to have what we call the first Passover. You remember, the angel of death is going to come, the destroyer, but God gives them blood to put on the doorposts, and that destroyer can't get past those doorposts. And it's the blood of a lamb. And so they take the lamb on the 10th day of the month. And then in verse 6, keep it till the 14th day. 4 days have passed of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, and they shall eat it. The end of verse 11. You eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover or Pesach. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. End of the verse. I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah. Now, really, the children of Israel, all mankind deserve judgment. But, and Satan, because we're going to know this is the destroyer, verse 13 tells us, or verse 23, excuse me, the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Jehovah will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in.
Praise God.
So Satan is the one that was the destroyer. He would love to have killed the children of Israel's firstborn. And he knows that all men deserve it. And so God gives them the blood of a lamb, which is going to stand for a lamb later on. And that blood they're going to put on the
doorpost.
And they're going to be safe. And then he says, now you're going to keep this forever. You're going to keep a feast to remember this forever. So right here in this chapter, we have when they came out and when Moses told them what God said. And he said, this shall be an ordinance. Look at verse 17. You shall observe this day, the end of it, in your generations by an ordinance forever. So he told the Jews have been keeping track of time, and they're God's timekeepers. And so they know right when that Passover is every year. And every year they have a Passover feast. They have a Seder feast. And so the Lord said, you shall keep this service forever. Now, when they come out, let's go to Leviticus 23. He's going to give them some of the circle dates on his calendar. He's going to tell them, I've got a calendar. You've already been keeping the civil calendar, autumn to autumn, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. But now you're going to keep a sacred calendar. And the sacred calendar that God's going to give them is prophetic. It is prophetic of redemption. But it's also the history of redemption, because now some of the dates on it have already been fulfilled. But at that time, they hadn't been fulfilled. They're just coming out of Egypt. And so he says, here's the prophecies. Here's the dates you circle. And you keep these dates. You have feasts on these dates. You meet before me on these dates. Mm-hmm. But one day, they're going to be fulfilled. And the first date on that calendar, standing at the head of it, the sacred calendar, is Passover. So let's look at chapter 23 of Leviticus. And I wish you would study this tonight at home. There'll be a test tomorrow. Just kidding. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them. Now in the King James, the word concerning is not there. Neither is the word feast. That word feast is moeds. It's actually the plural in the Hebrew, but I'm just going to put an S on it for English speakers. The moeds of Jehovah. He tells Moses, I'm talking about Sinai times. And he says, the moeds of Jehovah. These are the circle dates. Listen up. I added the last part. But that's really what he meant.
Yeah.
And the first thing, he says, these are my moeds. These are the dates I've got circled. And the first one is, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Seven is the number of time. We have 7 days in a week. We have 7 weeks in the Shemitah cycle. And there are seven feasts. And those feasts take place within 7 months. Seven moeds within 7 months. So seven is a big time clue. Now tomorrow, when we come back here, we're going to look at the entire clock, the entire calendar. We're going to know these. You're going to know them. You're going to be able to look at this. And you're going to be able to remember what these are. You're going to be able to know which ones are fulfilled, which ones are not fulfilled, and why we believe they may be fulfilled in the very near future, for God is giving some signs in the heavens.
Praise God. And you're going to tell us
yes,
about all that?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. You don't want to miss any of this coming up. The moeds of God, they have everything in the world to do with our lives,
everything
right?
to do with it.
And the way
everything to do with
out.
Jesus coming. First time and second.
Glory to God. Billy and I'll be right back.
From the beginning of time until today, God has placed signs, seasons, and cycles in motion to guide His people throughout the generations. God has everything under control. Understand His calendar for the last days and build your faith with the Signs of the Times package. Billy Brim's series, God's Calendar and Upcoming Eclipses, reveals Israel as the timekeeper of prophecy. Discover the importance of God's appointed times and seasons. Find out where the Jews, the church, and the nations fit on His calendar. Learn the importance of the 7-year biblical cycle. See how Scripture, science, and history align in John Hagee's book, Four Blood Moons. Find out why NASA labeled the eclipses blood moons and what is about to happen that will change everything. Be expectant. Jesus is coming soon, and God has a message for you in the Signs of the Times. Be sure to order the Sign of the Times package for only $29.99 at a savings of 25%. Bring clarity to your study of end time events and understand God's timetable with Billy Brim's teaching on CD or DVD entitled God's Calendar and Upcoming Eclipses, plus John Hagee's book Four Blood Moons. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 for an additional 10% off. Order your package online.
We're going to have something really good to offer you this week, the Signs of the Times package.
Yes, and I want to say first that we're going to have John Hagee's book, Four Blood Moons, Something is About to Change. Now, we're talking this week about this. We're talking about God's calendar, when these blood moons are going to be, because it's just a few weeks now. And what could they possibly mean? So you'll want this book, something is about to change, that's for sure. And I was teaching on this in California and had a really good, you know how sometimes your cakes turn out better than other times? Well, this turned out really well, so we captured it on CD and DVD.
Right.
And it's God's Calendar and Upcoming Eclipses. And so you'll see some things on there, and you'll want this.
Okay, I'll take that one.
Okay.
God is speaking to us in these end of days. We're in the end of days, according to the Scripture,
here we are,
right?
According to the Scriptures.
Don't be filled with fear when you hear the news. Be ready. Don't be scared. Be ready. Hallelujah. Be filled with faith.
You know what the Bible says? Love is appearing.
Love, does it? I didn't know
it said
that.
All those who love is appearing.
Who love his appearing. Right. I knew that. We trust him. We expect good things. We expect to live in victory. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so we have no fear. We're expectant. Okay, so we got this package for you, Billy. It's what? Your book?
Well, it's my CDs and DVDs, and it's
Brother
Hagee's book.
And your yours on the calendar.
My calendar
so you want to be sure and get it. I'm taking this one home myself. Glory to God. Ken and I will be in Branson next week in Billy's home turf. You need to be there. The Branson campaign is February 27th through March 1. And we'll be having healing school on Saturday. It'll be a strong meeting. I'm telling you, there's so many prayers up there in Branson that are working together to get good things manifest in the Lord. It'll be an awesome meeting. So you want to be sure and come. Jesus always comes to healing school. There's nothing too big or too small for God to heal. Come expecting to receive your healing. For more information, go to kcm.org. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. You can also view the webcasts online at your convenience or download them as video or audio files. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's product offer. These Word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. Receive the great grace God is abounding toward you and live in the blessing. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The 2014 Branson Victory Campaign, February 27th to March 1st with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The 2014 Southwest Believers Convention, June 30th through July 5th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas. The 2014 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through 15th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
The Jews celebrated Passover year after year after year after year, and Jesus came to this earth and he celebrated the Passovers, every Passover of his life, and then he fulfilled it.